pitcher and a right-hand pitcher.
So you could switch hit a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I was a switch hitter. I could. I could do it, and fairly well. But not as well as I wanted to. And I hit left-handed against Lefty Grove, and Lefty's fast.
Was he?
But I couldn't pull his ball. I couldn't get out in front enough to pull it to the right side of the field. He was that much faster.
Were there any pitchers at that time when you were established in the big leagues that you tried to model yourself after or that you really looked at?
No, Alexander was my style. And, and after I used his style, I found that it suited me just like I felt good doing. And so I continued to use that style of pitching. And of course, I'd do other things now and then, like crossover. They used to have a term, but it escapes me right now. Anyway, I'd step that way and throw that way.
Okay.
And you do a stop of speed. You jerk your speed, that is speed of the pitch,
right,
would be interfered with by crossfire.
Okay.
Crossfire, that was what we called it. And I use that crossfire to right-hand batters and left-handed batters, too, when I was pitching and in good shape and felt good. And some pitchers would say, well, why do you do that? I said, well, that's just another way of fooling the batter with speed.
Sure.
And he doesn't know how fast that ball can come up or how slow it might be. And in between, you make them swing wrong at the ball. Well, that was my, see, I tried percentage on everything. And I never was a mathematician, but I tried percentage on in baseball and made it. And like Rabbit Moranville said, make them hit to us. Make them hit to us. I said, Rabbit, that is exactly what I'm trying to do from now on.
Were there any really great plays you saw Moranville make? Anything stands out in your mind?
Every play was a great play in his book because he was such a stylish little squirt. 5'5". Now, that was his size. 5'5". And weighed about 55 or 60 pounds. He was sturdy.
Right.
And always fun. Had fun all the time. He and I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. What? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what was, say, during the season, did you just get an apartment in Pittsburgh or in Cleveland?
Had,
or what kind of life did you lead?
We sometimes, families you know.
Okay.
And just take a room in the house or some house close. And people were known, you know, as having rooms for rent. And I just rent a room.
Did you live with other ballplayers or did you
No, I lived with a family, just rented a room with a family that lived close to the park.
Did you and the other ballplayers go out at night for fun or just pretty much keep to yourself?
I pretty well stayed to myself. If I wanted to romance a little bit, I'd find someone to romance with. And that would be the extent of my proclivities. I didn't like to party too much. There was quite a bit of partying going on in our club most all the time, but I tried to stay out of it as much as I could.
Who were the were there any real who were the partiers on the Pirates?
Oh,
would you say?
I guess 2/3 of them.
Yeah.
They were all pretty well activated there in around Ford's Field. I had friends here and there, not too much involved. I'd rather be just friendly and pick my spots.
Right.
And on the road, I'd be more activated than at home, because I didn't want to get myself on the wrong track.
Did you just go back to Arkansas during the off season then?
Well, generally.
Okay.
Because I could have a job there. I had fans in stores. You know, I was a store worker.
Okay, I was going to ask you if you worked during the off season. Did you have to make more money?
Yeah.
What kind of work did you do in stores?
Oh, just sales.
Okay. What'd you sell?
Men's clothing, mostly. I worked more at Men's Clothing, and I worked as a car salesman at other times. And I guess I just about covered it.
Okay. So you went after 29, you would have gone back to San Francisco then to finish off that deal?
Well, in the spring of 1930, I capped the deal.
Okay.
See, 1929, Earl and I played together at Cleveland.
Right.
And that was his first year there and my last year in the American League. And, of course, I always think of the first time he walked up to the plate, home run. Spring training. It was his turn to swing at the ball in batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the first pitch that he got, he hit right over the center field wall.
That probably got attention.
That seems so proper that he was a center fielder and he just walks right up there and just hits the first pitch. Not practicing, not looking, just the first pitch. He just hit it cleanly out of the park. And I said, that ought to be a good sign. And he says, why? I said, well, the first ball you swung at was a home run. And you didn't even measure for anything. No practice, first swing. And he said, well, it felt good just the same. And I said, well, I'm going to predict that you have a good year. And he hit 29 home runs, as many as the whole ball club hit.
That's right.
The year before. And that was a coincidence that happened. And
so, I'm sorry, you were, when you went back to San Francisco, you kept on pitching for a number of years,
right? Oh, yeah. I pitched the 5 years I was with them, and then after that, why, I hired out as a Bush League manager. I went to El Paso for 2 years, won the first year, I tied, and the second year I won championship. Then I won two more before I was through. I took 10 years of my life after baseball, after regular.
As a manager and coach. Did
you
ever manage any future big league players?
Oh, Bill. Well, why can't I say his name? Bill somebody. Went to the Yankees.
Okay.
And pitched a no hit, no run game till the ninth.
Bill Bevins.
That's
right.
Bill Bevins. He could throw the ball in his mind so fast that he was afraid he'd hit somebody with it. And I let him hit me in the legs to prove to him that his ball was not that fast. That the ball player himself tried to get away from a pitch and in doing so took the force out of the hit so that it wouldn't damage.
You went up to the plate and just let him hit you in the legs to
Well, I moved.
Right.
I moved the proper way.
Uh-huh.
I says, throw the ball inside now. Tight inside like you were trying to make me flinch.
Uh-huh.
And he threw it just below my hips, and I whirled and caught the ball with the back end of my thigh, back side of my thigh. And I said, now you see there? I said, now that was a fast ball. And I said, I took it, and it didn't kill me. And I knew it was going to hit me, see? And I knew just how to move and take the blow. And that son of a gun, from then on, he was a changed pitcher. And I told him, I said, you've got the control that you can do things with the ball. You can get it so close to the batter that he can't hit it, but you get the benefits of it. And you move the ball a little closer and a little closer, and they don't know just exactly where that ball is going to come. So you get the benefit of throwing a ball too close to them, and it throws them off of their balance.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's the whole ticket right there. And from then on, he was a changed boy.
How about Joe DiMaggio? I heard that coached him.
Yeah, I worked with him, you know, teaching him how to run and catch fly balls, how to change and to look over the shoulder and judge a fly ball. And I helped him, I know.
Well, you said they wanted to break him in as a shortstop?
Shortstop. He wanted to be a shortstop.
Did he really?
Yeah. He wanted to be a shortstop, and he was soft-handed. He too many balls would get in his glove, and he'd have to fish it out to throw. And well, Hank Aaron wanted to be a second baseman, and my son showed him that he should be an outfielder because he turned his head on a ground ball. When he was fielding a ground ball, he'd turn his head that way or that way. And you're not supposed to do it. You're supposed to dig right in, stick your nose right in front of that ball. And in order to see exactly where it's going.
Uh-huh.
If you take your eye off the ball, you've lost it.
Right.
And that's the way we did it. And my boy changed Hank Aaron, and after they sent him to look him over, see what had to be done. And he showed Hank that he should be an outfielder.
And you changed Joe DiMaggio.
And I so helped that's Jim pretty DiMaggio good. To become a good outfielder.
Was DiMaggio a pretty eager student?
Oh, yeah.
He was?
Yeah. Always. He was a bashful kid in his growing up days.
Right.
And we used to visit their home. See, he had three brothers. Two played ball,
right.
And the other was a fisherman. And the fisherman was so good a friend to all of us that he would invite us to their house. And there was three or four of us that would take the invitation and go down and see Vince. See, Vince played with us, with San Francisco.
Right, okay.
And he also played with Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who else.
Dom, did he ever?
Played with Boston.
Okay.
And Dom was a little shaver when I first went there, you see, 5 years. I was with him 5 years.
All right.
And the last 2 years, when Joe was coming into his own, why, he was, I think, 18 or 19 years old. And Vince was a grown-up ball player. He was ahead of Joe,
right.
Older than Joe. And their brother, the fisherman, he wanted us to come to their house. And when we first went down, I remember how bashful Joe was. In friends, you know, not just women folks,
mm-hmm.
but everybody, he was bashful. And he didn't know exactly how to approach people. And I said, heck fire, join the crowd, Joey. He was standing behind the stove against the wall, a heat-eating stove.
Right.
and was about so far from the wall, and he was standing behind that stove against the wall. And I told him, I said, get with the crowd. Learn to mix. And he laughed. He says, oh, shucks, I don't know.
And came on out.
And Vince, of course, Vince was just like I was. He'd tell him to open up, get loose. And then as we were associated closer together, you know, the friendship just grew closer. And it was so easy to get him by the arm, you know, and run out to the outfield, talk things over. And just little old things like that teach a kid a whole lot, a barrel full. And, of course, if it comes from somebody that you think a little bit of, well, it means a lot more. And that was the way I went with Joe. Well, and Dominic, well, of course, he came in. He came along. He was like a kid developing by himself, just by himself. And the first thing I knew, he was a star ball player. And it was funny. It really was how it happened. And he developed into a ball player just like overnight, you might say. That was suddenly, soon, quick. And he turned out to be a heck of a ball player. In fact, I met all three of them.
Three of them were, yeah, I was going to say.
They were outstanding, all of them. And little old Dominic, he was a sharp infielder, very sharp. And, of course, Vince and Joe were sharp outfielders, good ball players, good hitters, all of them good hitters.
Well, that's really what I wanted to ask you, Mr. Zinn. Thanks very much for helping me out. I appreciate it.
I think I had the thing figured out, what the difference in hitting was, because I could prove it in several ways when I was active.